All right. Welcome to season two of the Doomer Bloomer podcast. Now, today on the podcast, I have a very special guest from Portland, Oregon. Her name is Erin McKella, and she is a, what would you call yourself, Erin?
that's so funny. Yeah. I call myself the joy slinger because I'm slinging joy. But you would probably, if you had to put me in industry, it would probably be coaching, mentoring, that sort of thing.
Ah, there you go. Excellent. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been consulting businesses and business owners for about 16 years. I've just been doing what I do now, which is teaching people how to find joy in their life at this moment and understanding why we're here and what the work is to be done here for the last 3 years.
Ah, very good. All right. So my first question is, where are you on your hero's journey, your doomer to bloomer path? What's your story, Erin?
Oh, you want my story from the beginning or you want me where I'm at?
Where you're at. Let's start there.
So, I won't say I've arrived because I don't believe that's why we're here. I believe that this is a journey till the end. But I'll say that I found my purpose and meaning in life, and it's teaching people how to find their purpose and meaning and understanding why we're here and, you know, what it's all about and how to experience it in a way that feels really super good all the time.
All right. I see here you had a spiritual awakening reading the book A Course in Miracles, and then you trained under Mike Dooley. And can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So, you know, prior to starting in on that book, A Course in Miracles, I had been involved in seminar company and going to all their seminars and working and going to all kinds of different seminars on, you know, all the things, business, success, relationships. And I had been voraciously reading a lot of self-development books. But when my time came where I really needed to pull from them, all of a sudden I recognized that, yeah, I had an awareness that there was more to this life than just being in sort of crisis all the time or challenges all the time. But I didn't have the strategies to deal with what came my way. And at the time I was going through a divorce, and for whatever reason, it really hit me hard. I mean, divorces do in general, but it really knocked me for a loop. And I just sort of grasping for anything that would make sense. And somebody had mentioned this book in the past, and I had, you know, I didn't have any preconceived ideas of it at all. I just picked it up and started reading, and it has 365 passages. So it's meant to be a passage a day for a year. And I got, you know, several weeks into it, and it was interesting, and it got me thinking about things. But it wasn't until like month two where I started to see a pattern of things where I noticed that every time I opened the book to the next passage, there was like these words that would, it was like they were coming up off the page in like bold, and they just kept saying, joy, the answer is joy, the path is joy. And after a month of that, I was just like, I hear you, but I don't know how to find that joy. Like, where is it? And as it turned out, I had gotten an email from Mike Dooley, who I had met at a seminar through this other seminar company that I was working with. He had a seminar coming up, and I didn't even read what it was about. I didn't care. I just needed something positive. So I bought a ticket and flew to the other island. I was living in Hawaii at the time. And I went, and it was a day-long seminar, as it turns out, on the visualization process that he teaches. And I had not done visualization before much. I had done it a little bit in terms of sports. I played sports my whole life. And so I knew about it in terms of that, but there wasn't as many, like he was teaching some very specific nuances to this visualization process. And I was so inspired by it that I came home and my business that had been for sale for about 9 months with no bites. I called my broker and I just said, listen, I just want to let you know my business is going to sell by the end of the month and there's going to be some bidding wars over it. And he was like, well, you know, we'd all like to think. And I was like, oh no, it's happening. And then I met the love of my life just in these random fluke way. And then I got another email from Mike Dooley asking me if I wanted to train and learn to teach the seminar that he teaches. And I went and got trained and I came back and I put on my first seminar and 5 minutes in, it was a culmination of everything that I had ever learned. All of my experiences came together and I just went, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to teach people how to find their joy, cultivate it daily and live the life of their dreams. The one they always wanted to live that they didn't think was possible.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So you call it impenetrable joy. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. So my book that's coming out very soon, I'm on the last chapter, crossing my fingers that it happens. The rest of it happens soon, is called Impenetrable Joy. My course is called Impenetrable Joy. And I call it that because, well, first of all, most people, if you ask them what it is that they want, they would say, I want to be happy. And I would say, actually, what you want is joy. Happiness is based on external events and it's fleeting. It's short-lived. It's, you know, the new car that's fantastic for a week, a month or whatever. But eventually that car becomes not a new car anymore and loses its new car smell. And then it's just a car, right? And so that's happiness. That's short-lived. Joy is an internal experience that you, once you find it within you, you can cultivate it on a daily basis and live in that space, which I think is our birthright, all the time. And so impenetrable joy is that. It's getting to joy and it not being dependent on or beholden to or at the mercy of people or circumstances to decide whether you're having a good day or a good life or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good distinction to make between happiness versus joy, and it's an internal process versus an external process. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
What is one thing you'd wish you'd known when you began your career? And would you like to share that with our audience?
I mean, of course, I think we all sort of look in retrospect and go, man, if I had known what I know now at a younger age, I could have, you know, X, Y, Z. I don't ever live in regret. I never really have. It's an unnecessary emotion or experience. But, you know, if I had known how powerful it was to be in alignment with the, you know, deepest part of yourself, that would have been lovely to have known. And I believe how you get there is you just keep seeking, you know, when things feel like they're not going your way and you're having an emotional response to something, starting to get curious about what is that? Why am I having that response? Where does that come from? And, you know, sitting in it versus what most people do, just because we don't know any better. No, it's not our fault. Nobody told us, you know, band-aiding it up with, you know, drugs, alcohol, relationships, food, sex, you know, all the things that we do. And even just little things like, you know, when we negate ourselves, like when we're having a moment and it doesn't feel good, when we're talking to somebody and we say, you know, this is awful. And then we end it with, you know, but I'm really blessed, so I can't complain. It's like, it's not about complaining. It's about acknowledging where you're at so that you can heal from it. Because if you don't acknowledge or seek to find answers to what's bothering you on a regular basis, it's just going to keep coming up. And that will be your experience. And I think there's a better way. I think you can dive in and sit in those emotions and do some real healing. and it doesn't have to be awful and super painful.
That's good advice. Now, I know you don't believe in this, but what would you consider your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I mean, a bit like regret. I really believe that everything is on purpose and for our benefit. Like, it's really rigged in our favor. It's just that we don't usually think about it that way. I don't know so much failure. I mean, I feel like, I've learned from every single thing that's happened. And I think that's kind of the point. And I think that we have these really wonky ideas of what success looks like. It's interesting. I was listening to Eckhart Tolle the other day, and he said prior to him releasing his books, which have been New York Times bestsellers, and he's been on Oprah and all that, people would ask him what he had accomplished. And what he said was, I've accomplished stilling my mind so that I'm not in thought all the time over nothing, basically. And I would say that accomplishment trumps just about everything. when we can recognize that we don't have to be in continuous thought all the time. And actually, when we are in thought like that, when we're trying to come up with a solution, or we're just, habitually thinking constantly about whatever, everything, that's not being here now. That's not having an experience of here. That's having an experience in the past and projecting it into a future that we can't possibly understand what's going to happen. And so when we recognize that when we're in thought so much, which, I work with a lot of people who have anxiety, worry, overwhelm, stress, that's all about pulling up, conjuring past experiences and trying to project them into the future and thinking that you can control all the things, which, really is a function of the brain. Like, it really just, it wants to take information in and sort it and file it away for future use. But because we aren't taught to navigate our brain in a way where it's intentional and we get to be in charge, it tends to kind of run off and do its own thing and just overthink and think things to death. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And honestly, Aaron, I suffer from that exact affliction.
You're not alone. Yeah.
I'm trying to be better, but I do tend to overthink things constantly.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the tools that I teach people is meditation. And the reason, if people are like, oh, woo woo, whatever, I know meditation sometimes has a bad rap, but I'll tell you, the purpose behind meditation is to clear your mind, is to relieve your mind of thought. And let me just tell you, I was that person as well. And when I first started meditating, it was super challenging for me to even go like a few seconds without thinking and thinking and thinking. But I'll tell you, when you begin to practice it, slowly it starts to change. And then you can recall that experience, the quieted mind, the stillness, on a regular basis. So when you get into a situation where you're stressed out or you're overthinking or you have some anxiety, you can put yourself in that space because we have the ability to remember, right? That's our memories. When we start to insert like memories that are helpful like that, then we can address these moments when we get stressed out or in anxiety or overthinking by putting ourselves in that place for that moment and remembering, oh, that's what it felt like. And now I would say there is stillness in the background, like in the wallpaper of in the texture of my life all the time. Whereas before it was just thinking, 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 and to no end, which is what I call like circular thinking. It's like, you're not trying to come up with a solution. You're just thinking about everything and everyone and, different scenarios and making up stories mostly making up stories, right, about things that don't happen. And it's kind of crazy when I talk about it like this, I often people will just go, wow, that's, I never heard anybody say it that way, but it's what's going on. And it's kind of like lunacy, you know, it's kind of like, oh, like, why are we doing that? To keep ourselves busy, to keep our minds busy. We don't actually have to. And when we can still the mind, it's so beautiful. The calm and the peace, peace of mind is just, it's delightful.
Yeah, we, like you said, we all often suffer more in the mind than we do in reality.
Oh, I mean, 100%, right? I mean, we don't even think about the fact that we're constantly making up a story about what's going to happen next. And that thing never happens. And I was sitting with a client the other day and I do this exercise on beliefs. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I just found myself, it was so funny because I was shocked by what this person said. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy. We think that we all are the same. We think that we're all having the same experience, but we're not. And we couldn't have, because we have different experience. We had different pasts. And so it's the past that sort of dictates this like lens or filter in which we see this world. And we all like walk around and act like everybody had the same experience and they should understand. And if they don't behave the way I want them to, then I'm going to get upset by that. But how could they behave any other way than the way that they know how to behave, which is very different because they had a different experience than you. And that's literally it. It's not personal. They're just doing their thing with their filters and their beliefs, projecting, you know, their rights and wrongs on you. And that's what we're kind of doing all day long, every day with one another.
Oh yeah. I 100% agree.
It's kind of silly when you say it like that, but it's true. And it's, I always give this example. Since I assume you like the Grateful Dead, my boyfriend, he was really into the Grateful Dead, or still is actually. Although they're not quite together anymore. They're missing some people. but I really didn't know much about the band, or really even didn't know that they were had such a big following. But when we got together and he explained to me why he liked them so much, it felt like the first time he belonged in a group and whatever. I was like, oh, that's neat. And then guess what happened? All of a sudden I started seeing Grateful Dead things all over the place, right? Stickers, t-shirts, people talking about it, saw it online, right? It was completely out of my knowingness until then. And now, and then I was running, I was at my parents' house and I went for a run and I looked down the street and I was quite a ways down the street and there was a van that had a logo on it that was that, I don't know what that logo is called that they have with the skull. And it was like an electric company or something, or a plumbing company or something. And I would never have even like double took to look at it prior, but it's in my awareness now. And that's literally what's going on every day. Like, we're bombarded with millions of pieces of information. We can only take in so much. And we're taking in the things that we recognize because we've had experience with them. So it leads you to believe that there's a whole lot of other things that you don't have experience in that might be helpful.
Yeah, I get it. So something I've noticed about you, and this is the question I'm going to ask, is so you talk about getting in alignment and speak from your heart at all times. How would you give someone advice trying to get to that place?
Well, I think I'll tell you how I got to that place, and I won't purport that the way that I arrived there is going to work for every person, but I think there's some nuggets of truth in there for everyone, you know? So you know, take it how you will. For me, I discovered joy through the visualization process. And the visualization process that I use is, and that I teach clients, is a day in the life of everything you've ever wanted. You write out that story, and then you spend 5 minutes every morning before you get out of bed, like right when you wake up, and you go through that day in the life of everything you ever wanted. So much so that you are in it. I mean, 100% in that video, literally, like you see yourself, you're not the camera, in the video, living that day in the life. That's pretty exciting. So if you can get to that place emotionally and raise your emotional level to, you know, how you would feel if you had the day in the life of everything you ever wanted, that's a pretty good place to start, right? So if you'd start, that's where I found my joy. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. Like I do in my meditations every morning, like I have tears of joy streaming down my face because I am in that moment every day. The cultivation of it, or the alignment of the deepest part of you, comes through the knowledge of several things. One is that you are not your thoughts, and that you are not your emotions. Those are things that most people think they are. But the reality is if you can think a thought and know what that thought is, if you can have an emotion and name that emotion, who is that that is noticing those things? That's actually who you really are. The thoughts and the emotions are based on experiences that you had. I'm asking you to get beyond those experiences and recognize that while they've served you to this point, in order for you to create a life filled with joy, you get to be intentional about what you want to insert from here on out. And when we understand that thoughts and emotions are not who we are, they're just a function of our past, and we can begin to rewire some of these thoughts and emotions and heal them, then you can be in 100% alignment with who you are almost exclusively. I'm not going to say there aren't moments where things come up for me emotionally, but I know how to sit with them now and not, like I was mentioning before, band-aid them up to make them okay. There's nothing, it's not that they're wrong. It's just that they're not serving a future that I want to create. And I can't create that future with all of this past stuff that is not in alignment with it. And so that process of getting in alignment looks like healing and understanding what thoughts and emotions are, that they're not who you are, and being able to recognize that they're not and sit in them, so that each time you sit in those emotions, you can heal them. It gets easier and easier each time, but it's a practice. And, you know, just like anything else, you've been practicing this other way of being for so long, it's really challenging. And there's a lot of resistance to a new way of practicing. But I'll tell you, on the other side of that practicing, as you continue on, is wonderful, is freeing. It's true freedom to be free of your thoughts and your emotions and be able to intentionally create the life that you want. That's amazing.
That's awesome. What are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so the seminar company that I was involved with, that was a good foundational piece to just sort of recognize that there's something else going on in the world. And I've read, of course, a ton of books, but I'll say the three books that stood out the most for me were A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, The Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav, and The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I got some very different things from those books, and some were very much overlapping. This idea of sitting in your emotions to heal them, that I got from Gary Zukav, and understanding that we're here for spiritual growth. That is why we exist. It's not to amass things or money or any of the things that, you know, society, media would have you believe. We're here to grow and heal through the challenges that are in our life. And when we can understand that and find some real strategies to getting past the challenges or through them and heal them, then we're really doing the work that we're here to be doing. And that I learned a lot through Gary Zukav. Eckhart Tolle sits in the place of stilling the mind. And he's the one that helped me to recognize that it was possible to not be a thinking person all the time. It was possible to be still and enjoy my life from that place. You know, I think for some people, and probably me included, you know, I thought so much about everything all the time that if you had told me that you were going to take those thoughts away, that there would be any richness to life, I probably would have kind of freaked out. But I'll tell you, it is so much richer without all the thoughts. It has, like, I can be in the present moment much more often. I can be here now in this moment, whereas before I was just in thought all the time. So I couldn't be there for the people in my life. And ultimately that's the thing, right? I mean, we get on our deathbed, we're not thinking, I wish I had amassed more things or more money or worked more. We're thinking, I wish I had deeper, meaningful relationships with people. And I get to do that now because I'm present. I'm here in this moment.
Yeah, I guess that's something that I've struggled with, and I think a lot of people struggle with. But what would your best advice for someone who is a doomer to get on the path to becoming a bloomer and feeling this impenetrable joy in life, business, relationships? What would be your best advice?
I would say, you know, anytime you can still your mind. So if you can find a way to meditate, and you can call it, you don't have to call it meditate. But I'll tell you, you know, people are always like, oh, it's so woo-woo, whatever. Honestly, like the woo-woo people seem a heck of a lot more happy than everybody else. So I'm always kind of like, well, you can call it woo-woo if you want, but if it brings you joy, then doesn't matter how you want to categorize it. In terms of quieting the mind, I think meditation is absolutely key. Just know that it's not something that comes naturally to most people, and it will take some time. What helped me was Oprah Winfrey and Deepak Chopra do a 21-day free meditation. And it's 20 minutes, and they give you a theme. And the part that really helped was, I mean, it was the theme, but then also he always gave a mantra. And so when you start your journey into meditation, know that it's refocusing all the time, right? So your brain wants to go into all the things, and then you refocus back to the mantra. You notice it's gone off track, back to the mantra. And that really, really helped me. Now I don't need a mantra. I can, you know, I sit in meditation for an hour every morning. And I don't need that. And my mind does wander sometimes, but I have awareness around it. And so it doesn't shift very often. And when it does, I know. I would say that's the best place to start. And then just start, I mean, I think reading or listening to books or podcasts, you know, I mean, if you're here, you're seeking. If somebody's listening to this podcast, they're seeking something. Keep seeking. Don't stop. Joy's to be had for everybody. It is our birthright, not just me, not just, you know, a handful of people, like everybody. So keep seeking until you find somebody. If it's not me, then find somebody else that speaks to you, that can help you train your brain in a way that it will allow yourself to enjoy this life. Starting now. You don't need the house and the car and the relationship or the job or the business or whatever. It's possible now.
Well, Erin, this has been Very enlightening. Where can our listeners best connect with you online? Do you have a coaching link, or where would you be best found?
So whenever I'm on a podcast, I always like to give out a free discovery call. You can find that on my website at erin-amazonmaryac.com. And you can just sign up on the calendar there, and or you can find me on Instagram at erinmacllc. There's a link to my website on there, and there's a ton of content on there. I post videos at least weekly with strategies or things to think about all the time, and love to hear from people. That whatever I'm saying is helping. So DM me on there if you want to get in touch with me as well.
All right. Well, thanks, Erin. I'm really happy to have you on the podcast. And this has been very enlightening even for me. So thank you very much for your time. And we'll be signing off. All right. Cheers.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.